now with McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number three doesn't count because of the fact that we don't allow fill-ins or write-in votes. But Tyler has hour number three of Way Back Wednesday, and I believe that it's not going out on too big of a limb to say that there might have more of a metal feel to this hour.
You think?
Yeah.
He opened pretty strong. It's not bad. I mean, it's no Public Enemy, but whatever.
Yeah, good job with Marilyn Manson.
Do not besmirch the good name of Pantera.
What does Pantera mean? Does that have a meaning?
Yeah, it means Wildcatters.
It means Panther.
It does?
Yeah.
Huh. Is it, what language is it?
Algonquin.
Which is...
an Indian name.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite Wayne's World quotes.
Milwaukee. Yes,
which
Alice
is
Cooper.
Algonquin for the good land.
Yes.
Oh.
Alice Cooper.
I don't even remember. I couldn't give you one
dude,
Wayne's
it's
World
about
quote.
Wait, come of course on. You Wayne's knew World? I knew that line.
Yeah. I couldn't give you a single Wayne's World quote.
Such a good movie.
Other than, party on!
Quit it, man. Shit. You're scaring me.
That's all I got. Party on, Garth. Party
okay.
on, Wayne.
All right. Okay.
That's all I got.
Good job. That was well worth it. All right, so we've covered Astros. We've covered Rockets. Astros, bases loaded, Springer pops up. So it's
left
still
the team down.
8-6.
Actually, Marwin struck out before that.
Yeah, chased a couple of really bad pitches. So the Twinkies, Barry.
Yes?
The Twinkies, there's your new logo. The Minnesota Twinkies
okay.
have the lead.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. The Sponge Cakes.
I'm down with a Twinkies logo.
8-6 Twinkies.
Cream filling coming out of it.
Bottom seven. Okay.
Word. A couple more things. We do have the audio. This whole Ben Simmons thing is getting kind of interesting.
Oh, it is.
I'm enjoying the back and forth a little bit. If you don't know, Ben Simmons is up for Rookie of the Year. But Donovan Mitchell also giving him a run for his money. And mm-hmm. the big to-do is the fact that Ben Simmons sat out a year. Mm-hmm. So this is technically his second year in the NBA, although he didn't play last year. So he does qualify to be Rookie of the Year. So Donovan Mitchell shows up to a game with a sweatshirt on with the actual definition of a rookie, which talks about playing in your first year.
Well, let's be honest. Okay. Simmons started it. He threw the shade first.
Yeah.
Giving Mitchell a little bit of grief that he should win it. It should be, you know, close to unanimous, all this other stuff. He started taking shots, to which I thought the rebuttal that you just talked about was fantastic. Mitchell walking in, you know, the national TV game or whatever, they show you the guys with the cameras, and he literally had the sweatshirt with the definition
right,
of a rookie.
Yeah, and now, at that point, the reporters asked Simmons about it, and you can tell now he's getting a little salty because this was his reply.
I think if his argument is that I'm not a rookie, if that's the only argument he has, I'm in pretty good shape then. So there's a rule in the NBA for a reason. I mean, I'm not going to wear a sweatshirt tomorrow, though.
Well, he makes
a solid comeback.
And he does make a good point that, yeah, technically he is a rookie. Do you put any weight behind Mitchell's argument that he shouldn't be a rookie?
Now, I know Mario Elie does, and we've talked about it on the two-man game over on the network side of things, that he does have a point. From the simple fact that as a rookie coming right from college, you're used to a very much stretched-out season, a lot of rest between games, not the rigorous scheduling and all the games of an NBA, the grind of an NBA schedule. So Simmons went through that without playing last year. He traveled, he learned all the, you know, managing your time and your finances and all that stuff. That's something Mitchell's had to do this year. But the bottom line is you got to play to understand you're playing against men, not boys. You know, it's a tough argument, but I do get it from the standpoint of all the off-the-floor things. The fact that you get used to all of it before you're thrown into the middle of it and have to play, too. Donovan Mitchell's one hell of a talent.
Yeah, he can ball, but I don't. You can't hold that against Ben Simmons. It's not his problem or his fault, necessarily, that that's the rule. That the fact of the matter is, he qualifies as a rookie.
It's true.
So I brought it up while I was trying to bring it up on the Raheel and Dell show yesterday. Richard Jefferson.
Never heard of it.
He put on his Snapchat or Instagram or whatever story, basically detailing why Ben Simmons shouldn't be a rookie. Mm-hmm. And this is basically what he said. It's not Ben's fault, but DM is a true rookie. He didn't have an entire year to train and practice against NBA talent. He didn't get to sit on a bench and watch film and dedicate his life to basketball. Donovan's next best players are Rudy Gobert, defensive player of the year, who he thinks, and Ricky Rubio. No disrespect, but enough said. Ben has a wealth of monsters and proven offensive guys around that he does an amazing job facilitating for. And then he goes on to list some numbers and everything, but he does have a point where the guy basically had an entire year of basketball training with a professional team.
Yeah, it's meaningful, and it's definitely valuable. And
so do you think that they should change the rule? If you only qualify to be a rookie in your first year under contract in the NBA?
Well, see, this is like you can go in baseball too, right? Yeah, you can get a certain amount of at-bats, and you're still not officially a rookie until the next season. So I don't think they're going to change the rule. I think that, you know, it's one of those deals. And like you said, it's not completely in the players' hands. But, you know, from a Philly perspective, they were trying to lose as many games as they could early on too, even though they were drafting all these kids really high, that they wanted to make sure that they took the L's to get more picks, to get so that when they were ready to really make a push like this season, that they had Embiid, who also did the same thing and sat out over a year. You know, and Fultz has sat out almost a full year this year. So they're getting their guys their rest. Those guys are still getting paid. I don't think they're going to change the rule.
Okay. I'm with you. I don't think they change it either, because how many times has it happened like that? Where you've had a guy sit out and then be qualified and actually be in contention for rookie of the year the following year. I can't imagine there's been too many times that it's happened. So I don't think you change it. I mean, if anything, baseball should change their rule, because it seems kind of silly, although you get it. If a guy gets called up for 10 days,
right?
That's different in baseball. That's, you know, there's
the September call up is one thing, but when they get a couple months in the big, yeah, and then
there's
still
162 games. If you get called up, if you get a 10-day contract in the NBA, or you play for 10 days, that's an eighth of the season. That's a little more significant. So, I don't have a problem with the way they're doing it. And I don't blame Ben Simmons. It's not his fault. He's playing by the rules.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
So who do you think should win?
I picked at the start of the year Ben Simmons because he qualified. Now, I did not expect Donovan Mitchell. I've heard a lot of good things about him coming into the league. I heard that he was completely passed over to fall to the middle of the first round. He is impressive, that kid.
Yeah.
And forget the dunk contest. His basketball IQ, the way he runs that team as a rookie, that's so hard to do with veterans that have egos.
It's impressive.
I think right now, overall, and taking a Utah team that wasn't even looked at as being a team that was going to be fighting for the eighth spot, they're going to have home floor in the first round. There's a lot to be said. Both teams have done a lot of good. Obviously, we know the Sixers weren't expected to do anything either. But, you and I think both picked Ben Simmons at the start of the year. But if Donovan Mitchell wins, I'm totally good with it.
And I'm not going to be upset about it.
Yeah, totally with you on that.
All right. If you are a homeowner, listen up. This is for you specifically. Did you know that R22 Freon that's in your current AC is being phased out? That's right. It is. In less than 2 years, you will not be able to purchase Freon for your AC. So that's like that's a bad thing. And in less than 2 years, all Freon's obsolete. But lucky for you, the guys at Courtesy Air Conditioning and Heating are there to help. Tom, Brad, and the certified technicians at Courtesy AC can come out and upgrade or replace your old AC unit to fit the new requirements and help you save money. Log on to CourtesyACOnline.com today to get that process started. And even if your AC is current, like mine's 3 years old, so I'm lucky, I'm current. Some of you don't have a three-year-old AC, and before you know it, there's going to be summer and your Freon's going to run out, and in a couple years, you're not going to be able to do that. So make sure you go to CourtesyACOnline.com and get that process started. But also, the summer's coming. Is your air conditioning ready for another brutal hot Houston summer? Call Courtesy AC today, 713-278-9933. Have them come out and check it out. Courtesy Air Conditioning and Heating has been servicing our area for over 30 years and is available to service and repair both residential and commercial systems. Give them a call, 713-278-9933. That's 713-278-9933. Or visit them online, CourtesyACOnline.com. If you like to gamble, I'll tell you how you land. You win
can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to the show. Usual Suspects with you until 4 o'clock. The Blitz takes over with AJ and Fred and Jong. No Nicholas Sciarra today. He's out sick. We'll be out sick all week. So thanks to Tyler for filling in for him in the clutch. Thank you for that. Oh, that's a podcast. Never mind. It's clutch of you, though, to come in and help out.
They still do it.
Yeah. Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them. Joel and I are, with, like I said, with you until 4 o'clock. You can reach us 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 if you want to call or text. I'll be reading some of the texts. You can get us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Producer T. Scott. There you go. Did you see, though, that the Color Rush uniforms are going away in the NFL? I'm not happy about this. I really like almost all of the Color Rush uniforms. It's more like hip and current. Why are they getting rid of these?
It definitely, I kind of tuned in just to see like what crazy.
But they're ugly. They're like highlighters.
They're not
but
ugly. It's different. It's ugly. Cool. I like them. Like when I play Madden,
I think it is cool.
If I play Madden, I go to the Color Rush uniforms. I don't want to see the same old bland navy shirt with a white pants and black shirt with a. I like
some of the dumb
hip and new
throwback jerseys. Like I don't like them.
But I also get, like, if you're not a historic team, that you can do it, and it looks, some of them look really cool. Like, Seattle's like the guinea pig for all that because of the neon green and all that. But if you're the traditional teams, the Bears, the Packers, things like that, the Packers went all white. Ugh,
it's old. It's, well, they got to go with that because there was that year when they were green and red, and colorblind people didn't know who was playing who.
Yeah, I get that, too. But, I mean, there's so many, the Giants, all these different teams that have all this tradition, and they don't want to change. Or you get a situation like the Niners. The Niners went red with black, was it red with black numerals or vice versa? And the play-by-play guys were like, we couldn't even read the numbers and the names.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So you can make some subtle changes. One of the stupidest things, I think, that exists as a rule, and I've got this article I want to go through, these 13 bizarre rules. Rules in sports, from dress codes to one-point safeties. One of the stupidest rules, did you guys know that they can only have one color helmet?
What?
Yeah.
The Jaguars have a two-color helmet.
No, you can't change the color of your helmet. So if the Texans helmet is navy, it has to be navy all year.
They can't have a
white helmet
like
or a red helmet.
That, yeah.
Like you get a navy helmet. So when you see certain teams on like Color Rush or throwbacks or whatever, they have to use the existing helmet that they use
in their current. Where the Rams went to the where they went back to
the white
old school uni, but they had to have the white logo, white face mask, and everybody looked like.
I was wondering about that. I didn't realize that.
We made fun of it during the year. It looked like a complete disconnect. Like you bought a rummage sale full of football
uniforms.
They're
wearing like all yellow.
Yes,
and they got a white helmet.
Yeah.
Yep. Isn't that stupid?
It is dumb.
Like, it's the NFL. Why can't you do what you want? More teams should embrace the stuff like Oregon does, where you can have different cool logos and uniforms, and you'll sell more because people will see one they like and want to buy that jersey, or they see two of them in a year, they're going to want both jerseys.
You're supposed to be the trendsetter. You're the NFL. You're not supposed to be shown up by the University of Oregon and all these different teams that
pretty much all of college now.
All of college.
Yeah.
Right, because Under Armour, it's like a competition between Under Armour and Nike to change the uniforms for all these major college programs week in, week out. We've talked about this. Yeah, you don't want to be shown up. It's like the NBA up until they switched to Nike. Adidas couldn't manufacture like variances in the warm-ups and stuff. Everybody had the exact same design for the warm-up and just changed the colors.
I think part of it is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in that article they also mentioned the Color Rush one. Mm-hmm. They also mentioned that they're going to try and schedule better games on Thursdays.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's part of it too. Like if they actually had good football games on Thursdays, then I don't think the Color Rush uniforms would be such an issue to the NFL.
I just I wanted to see, like, I was bitching earlier in the year about how the fact that the Texans logo and colors is bland and boring and dumb and old. It needs to be better.
But it's what's hard to wrong update with that. Like, it just why? It just seems like if they try and update it, it's already very modern looking. But if they try and update it,
you think the Texans stuff is modern looking
compared to others?
It's whack. It really is bad.
I'm not.
They're
disagreeing
not the Browns,
you,
but it is but, pretty.
But even the Browns, when you look at the, like, they've muted the colors a little bit. They got the name down the pants. The, yeah. No, I think the Browns look a lot better.
It's coming along better than the Texans have evolved their uniform.
You put a flower in a pile of crap, and it looks a lot better.
It's so
too.
Vanilla and boring.
But like the Texans logo kind of reminds me of kind of the Seahawks-ish, like that kind of modern.
I don't think it's
cartoonish.
Modern.
It looks a little
to me. You know what it's like? It's like a modern 90s font. It's like a. I mentioned this the other day. It's almost like a GeoCities website or something. It's kind of old. It needs to be updated, rounded, muted. Like the muted helmets, when you look at like the Jags and the colors that they have, right? The back of that helmet, how it's that matte black.
Yeah.
Why can't they do more stuff like that? The NFL just needs to get younger. I their fans are getting older, and they need to get younger.
You. I couldn't stand the uniforms, but I don't disagree with the point because, like, this, they should not be shown up by college.
You look at this. This is the color rush for the Steelers. It's the all black, black pants, black shirt with the yellow trim. Dude, that looks badass. Why would you not do that all
it's
year?
Better than the jailbreak uniforms.
Yeah, those are ugly. The
their
bumblebees,
throwbacks.
The bumblebees.
God awful.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, I think can we all agree? Now, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
I was just going to ask you this because can we all agree a lot of the throwbacks suck? We're done with that. But here's the thing. When Green Bay wears their throwback, they wear brown helmets. They don't wear their traditional gold, yellow helmet with the G.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. They wore brown helmets with a gray face bar to mimic wearing a leather helmet back in the day.
I do remember that. Yep. But that made
it was probably stickers, though. It probably wasn't the brown helmet.
No, it was an all-brown helmet with a gray face mask.
I'll have to look into that.
I can prove it. You're talking to a guy that may watch them enough to know.
Unless that was before they
Now, maybe this year
rule.
They implemented it differently. Yeah. I don't know. But as I recall, even this year, when they did the throwbacks, they wore just a plain brown helmet to simulate it being a leather helmet back in the day.
This appears to be a lot of confusion surrounding the NFL's rule regarding multiple helmets. There's the effects. What are the ideas? Limit the number of helmets the players wear during the season. I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I'll look it up at a break. But I'm 99% sure I saw that they can only have one helmet color per year. So we'll have to look into that.
Okay.
The other thing, these 13 bizarre rules, one of them stuck out. I mean, some of them are about, like, fencing. Like, okay. I don't even know the rules of fencing, so this bizarre rule wouldn't make a lot of sense to me anyways. But the one they lead with in this article on For the Win, the 1-point safety.
Yeah, that's on the field goal, right?
Yeah, so you can get if you block a field goal and the team that blocks it picks it up and starts to run it back. If they were, like, let's say you're going to run it, you block it on the 10-yard line and you run backwards to maybe avoid some tacklers and then you run into the end zone and get tackled, it's a 1-point safety for the kicking team.
That was big in the Saints game 2 years ago. They were going to win the game, and because that happened, they ended up losing the game when they had the really bad season, not last year.
They had a 1-point safety?
So yeah, someone had a 1-point safety on a – I remember it happening.
Huh. There's the old – I mean, everybody knows about the rule about the drop kick in NFL, right? Where you don't have to kick a field goal. You can drop kick it. But the ball has to bounce first before you kick it.
It's like the...
You knew about that?
I did not know about that.
Really? Yeah, the drop kick is a quirk in the rule book. Instead of kicking an extra point, normally a player takes the snap and anywhere behind the line of scrimmage drops the ball on the turf and kicks it off the short hop through the uprights. There was a guy that was going to do that when somebody lost their field goal kicker. They were talking about the fact that he could drop kick it. Hmm. And he was going to do that, but they ended up not doing it. They went
but
for
how
two.
How many points is...
Flutie did it in 2005.
So it counts
same
for
thing.
Two?
Same thing.
Same thing as a regular field goal.
So then why would... Oh, as a field goal.
Yes.
But if you did it as an extra point...
Instead of kicking
three.
An extra point, you can drop kick
okay.
it. Yeah. There was the no left-handed players in polo.
What?
Yeah.
I'm left-handed.
Yeah, sorry.
What the hell is that?
The United States Polo Association rule dictates that polo players must hold their mallet in their right hands. This is due to the fact that when a right-handed player approaches the ball as a left-handed player approaches the opposite way, it creates a jousting-like situation. I guess they
Wouldn't
don't want to...
Wouldn't that make it more interesting and compelling to watch?
I mean,
otherwise, yeah. Who's watching it?
I don't know. It says the rule wasn't reinstated in 74, but people were grandfathered in. So if there's some 70-year-old polo player, he can play left-handed. We talked about the drop kick. Here's the stupid fencing rule, which I have no idea about. The fair catch kick. If a punt returner calls for a fair catch, the receiving team then has the option of attempting an undefended field goal from the spot where the ball was caught.
Now, I've heard that before.
Yeah, it's an odd inclusion in the rule book.
And the clock doesn't run when they make the quick fair catch.
Huh?
I'd like to see that. Like, say they catch it around the 45-50 if the team is backed all the way up. Throw Justin Tucker out there.
I was gonna say, if you're in Denver or you're indoors,
yeah.
And how far the ball travels with the conditions are either perfect or with the altitude, you got to give that a shot.
McManus, he kicked a 62-yarder.
There's a lot of good kickers these days. Yeah.
It says, let's say a team punts to run out the clock, and he's trying to come up with a scenario. Even with no time remaining, the return team is allowed to call for a fair catch and attempt a field goal from that spot. I mean,
yeah, end of the game. I can see it happening.
Uh huh. And you can't go
Make
out
sure
and block
you remember
it.
These when you're playing Madden.
You can't go out and block it. I wonder if you could do that in Madden.
I'm asking.
That would be interesting. There's the blood rule in hockey. Rule number 60.3. High sticking is a minor penalty. It sends a player to the penalty box for 2 minutes. But for high sticking that results in injury, refs can assess a double minor. What constitutes an injury? Through the rule book, it doesn't say specifically blood. It's pretty much blood in hockey. You draw blood.
That never happens in hockey.
Maybe you know about this one, Joel. Number eight on the list. NCAA Basketball Rule 4-1, dunking before the game.
I've heard this enforced before. I've also seen it and heard about it enforced in high school basketball in certain states, too, where it's like severe. Like, if you dunk in a pregame situation, it's a technical, I think, in college. But I know in high school, it can result in, like, a suspension. And I've known of some, in certain states, some big games where a guy dunked in the pregame warmups and it cost his team and him dearly.
Isn't that stupid?
That
you can't dunk.
They're worried about the backboard breaking and all
that. The rim getting messed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
When can a line drive up the middle be a foul ball?
In baseball?
Yeah. When can a line drive up the middle be a foul ball? When it hits the pitching rubber. If a ball isn't touched by a fielder and caroms from the rubber to foul territory along the first and third base paths, it's foul.
Sounds like a personal problem.
That's crazy. So
if it goes straight off the bat, hits the rubber.
I was going to say, then you got to go to replay just to see if it went directly to the rubber or if it.
Yep, and bounces foul. It's a foul ball.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? There's some weird rules out there.
Nuts. All right, we got a half hour to go in the show. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue to roll on and bring it to you until we take it till 4. Then Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz will take you home till 7. All right here, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
No Nick, Tyler, rest of the week. Nick's on meds. Update on Nick. He got meds. So he's hopefully going to make a recovery quickly, but he's under the weather.
I hear once you get that transition surgery that you're down for a while. So what?
I'm just letting you go.
It's not, okay. I told you the Astros would come back.
No, you didn't.
Tied it up.
Nope,
8-8.
You already had ruled them out.
It is 8-8.
And
I kept saying
we're going to prove you wrong today.
No, that's not. Go back and listen to the Hour
Please
One
do.
Podcast.
Please do.
Where I said Astros would come all the way back.
No one believed
it. Or were they down 8-1?
No one believed
it. I told you.
No. Hey, in case you were wondering, because Barry said it was too long and confusing yesterday, Daryl Morey has simplified the playoff picture for the Rockets.
It was very confusing yesterday.
So everything's a lot clearer because of last night's results. So essentially, if the Spurs win tonight, then the Rockets open up against the Pelicans in the first round. If the Spurs lose playing the Pelicans, then you either get Minnesota or Denver, and if you get, and Minnesota's playing Denver. So essentially, if Minnesota wins and the Spurs lose, then you get the Timberwolves. If the Spurs lose, if Denver wins, then you get the Spurs, and that's all assuming OKC beats Memphis. So there's a lot of things you can't assume, and it's still
so
somewhat
you're
convoluted.
Telling me there's a chance.
Who do you want in the first round? Jimmy Butler is back, by the way, not 100%, but
I want
he's
the
playing.
Nuggets.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Really? Over the Wolves?
Pelicans. Your choices are Pelicans.
Oh.
Spurs.
Uh-oh. Gave it a ride. Out. Damn it. Astros
Pelicans,
suck.
Spurs, Nuggets, outside chance of the Thunder.
Probably Pelicans, even though I thought
I'm
for a while
you.
They were balling out of control.
Yeah.
But probably Pelicans.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Minnesota, if Butler does have a little more time and he is back and he's getting, depending on where he's at, it's a dangerous team. It's a well-coached team with Thibodeau.
Yeah. By the way, I was kind of, just to clean up something from the previous one, I was kind of passing out some misinformation. Not completely false, but NFL teams are only allowed one helmet. So you can change the color, but a lot of them don't do it because it takes too long to paint them and dry between games.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're only allowed one helmet for safety reasons. I was looking at this article, and it was basically it has to do with safety and breaking in or wearing a helmet. And then some people are like, "Well, but I've seen guys change helmets. It's not a hard and fast rule. It's a suggestion that's kind of understood that teams follow. So sometimes they may repaint them." If they have time or whatever, but you, a lot of times you won't see that. You'll just see, they'll just not put a different decal on the same colored helmet.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I guess it has to do with safety. So I was close. I kind of remembered something about one helmet. I was a little off.
That's pretty much par for the course. So, so
not
at least
argue
we got that
you.
Clarified.
Josh and Beaumont had a good point, by the way, about the rookie of the year stuff that we were discussing earlier.
Yes.
He said, I think the NBA should change the rookie of the year rule. One draft class shouldn't have two rookies of the years. It's not a bad argument for that. You can only have one rookie of the year per draft class. It's not bad. I mean, really.
I mean, he makes a valid point, but again, it just comes back to what we were already saying. I mean, you can't sit out a year and then come back and play, but I mean, it happens. Look, they did it with Embiid. They did it with Simmons. So it is what it is. But yeah, I completely agree with the argument, too, that it's not exactly fair for a kid who is raw and playing and managing everything off the floor in his first year. People also don't realize, from a front office perspective, how much you're pulled and grabbed at for appearances, autograph sessions, you know, all the different things you got to do to try and appease
right.
the business side. And then you still have to try and find ways to practice and, you know, obviously put extra work in and your conditioning and your weights and all that stuff. It's a grind. It is a full-time job. So, we'll see. All right. Did you say?
I'm sorry. I was just reading Chris Davis's tweet. Barry, is the Astros game over yet? Shut up, Chris. I told you they'd come back.
No. You remember that movie with that guy and that girl in it and that... That was yesterday.
By the way, El Jefe just tweeted to Nick, "Hey, bro, best wishes on the transition. You're so brave."
So obviously, El Jefe wanted to stir it up. Wasn't going to let your comments just go to say, "Hey, let's see if Nick's listening."
Of course not.
There you go.
Do you get that when you're not here? Do people tweet to you? Be like, "Oh, Barry said this," or "Oh, they said this."
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, Barry hates you and loves Jerome. And
I don't know that was the case. I don't think that ever happened.
Well, that's what I'm told.
By who?
Tweeters.
Tweeters?
Tweeters.
No.
Tweeters.
That would be false.
Woofers and tweeters.
That would be false. Yeah, there's a lot of wolf tickets being sold on Twitter, that's for sure.
Okay, so I saw this morning on the Today Show, and okay. I see you put it on the rundown. But the former Silicon Valley actor T.J. Miller was arrested for making a bomb threat on a train. Did you see the ramifications?
No, I didn't. What happened?
They're talking about if this is all true and it goes down, he's facing like up to 10 years in prison.
He's known to be wild and crazy and do some crazy stuff. Like his first time here at the Come and Take a Comedy Festival, which is put on by the Secret Group here in Houston.
Yep.
They had a big comedy festival. First big comedy festival in Houston.
Is that the one you did?
At least in a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And T.J. Miller was at that. And he basically, he took the crowd outside. Like, he was just like, "Come on, everybody. We're going outside." And then I think they were already outside. Then he just started messing with people and screaming. And they went on
Whatever Fest. We got a poster for it.
Oh,
right,
was it Whatever Fest?
Yeah.
I thought it was Come and Take It.
Because he headlined with a Bobcat Goldway.
Whatever Fest. So, but he's known to be crazy like that. So he'll do crazy stunts and try to do, but that's going a little far.
So according to what happened on March 18th, he called a 911 dispatcher in New Jersey and reported he was on an Amtrak train traveling from D.C. towards Penn Station in New York City, and a female passenger had a bomb in her bag. He described the woman as having brown hair and a scarf. Amtrak officials stopped the train at Green's Farm Station in Westport, Connecticut. Passengers were all taken off the train. A bomb squad and members did a complete search. No explosive devices or materials were found. The complaint goes on to allege an investigator contacted Miller by phone. This time, Miller described the woman differently as having red hair and a red scarf, carrying a black bag, carry-on suitcase with a handle. He said she kept checking her bag without taking anything out, kept asking the first class attendant when the next stop was, and seemed to want to get off the train and leave her bag behind. According to the complaints, the officer detected slurring in his voice, asked if he had been drinking. He replied that he had consumed one glass of red wine, asked if he suffered from a mental illness. Miller replied, "No, absolutely not. This is the first time I've ever made a call like this before. I'm worried for everyone on the train. Someone has to check that lady out."
It just seems like, what is he doing? Do you think he was high or something? Because he's been known to partake in the hippie lettuce.
He's been implicated in the Me Too stuff.
Yeah, sexual assault back in December.
Yeah, I think, honestly, like, that kind of ruined his career. He got taken off of Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's not doing stand-up or anything. Like, I doubt anybody.
Oh, he tours still.
He, quote-unquote, was reached a mutual agreement.
No, they do. He's still real popular.
Really? So you guys are talking about the mutual agreement on Silicon Valley for him to part ways was due to that.
Yep.
Now the FBI is all involved in this investigation.
I can only imagine that he was... I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's what happens when you try to pull a prank for a YouTube channel or something like that. And it doesn't seem like that was the case, because I keep waiting to hear about that. And it just sounds like maybe he got a little crazy.
Maximum sentence, if he's convicted, $100,000 fine.
Well, he could fade
5 years in prison.
That's a little tougher.
Yeah.
I think he could fade the 100K, although that would put a dent in him, but he could fade the 100K.
Okay.
I wonder what a guy like him is worth.
Not exactly like he's going to be making more money until he gets away from this reputation with the Me Too movement.
Because he's a good comic. It says, that can't be the right. TJ, yeah, $9 million. Would you have ever guessed TJ Miller's worth $9 million?
You think more?
I would have thought more.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just skeptical about comics and what they make. I would have thought less.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know that, but
it's not exactly lucrative. But when you're as big as he is,
HBO, you're on a really popular HBO show.
That's true. When you're as big as he is, because he's pretty, like I said, he's pretty popular.
Pretty much the top name on that show.
Yeah. When you're on The Usual Suspects, you're killing it, bro. All right, we got one segment to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz next. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, boy. Final segment of the show, and as Tyler's playing that song...
Well,
Twinkies go yard, game over, bottom of the ninth, walk off.
Who was it? Home run.
Probably Joe Mauer.
Kepler.
Oh, it was Kepler? I figure Mauer, he tore him up last night.
Brad Peacock serves it up after he looked nasty.
Hey, guys, remember a long time ago, yesterday, when everybody wanted Brad Peacock to be the closer and Giles sucked? Well, there you go.
What'd you call that little stat you were looking at when they set the fire, but they find a way to put it out?
Oh, shutdowns versus meltdowns. Guess who just got an extra meltdown on his list? Yep. Brad Peacock.
That's a patty melt right there.
That's true.
So, yeah, Astros lose a tough one. That's the first series they've lost all year.
9-8. It's going to happen. They're going to lose some series this year.
Yeah, especially on the road.
It's time to panic is what I'm saying. It's not.
Well, it's time to beat up on the Rangers when they get home.
I mean, it was 8-1.
It's a great comeback.
And they battled all the way back. So
you know what? It was a great loss.
Moral victory.
Yeah, that's great. That's what you want.
That wins you hardware.
Keep track
moral
of those
moral victories.
Just check that out on StatCast. How many moral victories do they have? Moral velocity victories? No. Did you see this article about a guy named Penis Baba?
No.
He is a religious leader. They call him Penis Baba. He pulled a car 100 feet using his junk.
I saw the story. I didn't click on it, though.
And he didn't have, like, elephantitis like that dude we talked about?
No, huge crowds flocked to watch a religious leader appear to pull a car with his penis. The monk, known only as Penis Baba, can be seen fiddling under his robe while he apparently attaches a rope to his private parts. After the white rope is tied to a car, he staggers backwards, pulling the vehicle 100 feet.
Even if it's in neutral and all that, that's just...
Listen, when my lawnmower gets stuck in the ditch, I can't even push that thing out. Much less pull a car with my junk 100 feet. I feel like I would just... It would pull off.
You'd be
like, oh my God! Like, and then... Yeah. No.
I'm with you. At some point, the skin's just giving way.
The villagers said that Baba had gone away to practice penance and knowledge in his childhood, and he returned after years and then pulled a car with his penis. Baba said, it's not art. It's the power of God, the power of devotion. Any person can go to any extent.
I was going to say, don't motivate people to try this at home. Parents, don't let your children try this at home.
Oh, you might pulled a sheep with his penis.
Oh, see.
Pushed it, too.
Nah, he did not.
That was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah,
so there's Penis Baba. There's your weirdness for the day. Well,
okay. There's more weirdness. In Buenos Aires, a naked man was filmed walking across a gas station parking lot asking for help after he had a sex toy stuck up his backside. The man went towards an ambulance at the gas station seeking help from the crew. It's not known how the toy became lodged inside, but the paramedics...
Oh, I think we know how.
I think we do, too. But the paramedics were quick to offer help and clear up the incident. However, it was all filmed on the neighborhood cameras at the gas station. He's now an internet superstar.
He should have just tied it to a car and then let the car
then
pull it out.
Penis Baba will take care of
it. Yeah, that's two birds, one stone right there, right?
Or two stones and one bird.
I like that they say it's not clear how it got there. Like he was just walking and slipped and, oh, I fell on it. It's just
new,
where did that come from?
It's a new...
Now it's in my butt.
New wave lawn darts. Yeah. That one got caught.
That's of all the things that are a mystery in that story, that's not the mystery. How did it get there? That's the only part where you go, oh, yeah, he put
Can you imagine
there.
If you're the paramedic just chilling at the gas station, getting yourself a Slurpee, and all of a sudden knock on the door? We got to help this guy do what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People are reminding us TJ Miller was in Deadpool. But he had done a lot more before Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool
a lot
wasn't
more.
What
No,
we
it
were
didn't make him.
We're reading right from the damn article that says that he was also in Silicon Valley and other things.
And by the way, the Penis Baba guy,
yeah,
I'm. You have to be suspicious because he won't show it. He covers it with
under
his
the robe.
Robe.
Yeah,
you feel like he probably has a belt strapped to his waist with a hook on it, and then he just ties it to the hook and backs up and says he. Nah, I mean, not that I'm in a hurry to see anybody's junk, but if you're going to try to impress me by pulling a car with your penis 100 feet, I'm kind of going to need to see it. I mean, I'm going to need to see the rope and it attached to your junk.
Yeah, I think
not
you
just
gotta,
take your word for
you
it.
You got to prove it.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'm just not taking your word for it.
Well, Nick will be back on Monday if we need someone to volunteer.
That's not how Jesus made his miracles. Like, he actually proved it. Okay?
Yeah?
You're nervous about that one, aren't you? You're like, I don't want to go there.
Just, hey, you do what you do. And I just get out of the way when you do. Yeah. So other things that we've had on the list. I said this, and I don't know. I guess I'll retweet it, and you guys be the judge. But Janelle Monáe, very talented singer.
Never heard of her.
I have.
No idea.
She looks like a kind of a female Bruno Mars. She's got a really weird, like, poofy hair.
She does tuxedos.
Wait, she's
and
in the
male
Pepsi
outfit.
Commercial.
She's in a lot of commercials. She's a kind of a Janet Jackson, very pretty face.
Yeah. Does she look like a female Bruno Mars, or does Bruno Mars look like a female version of her?
Well, Bruno Mars was around before her, or he was in the public eye before her. So,
would you say he's a bit feminine looking?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And he's not like he doesn't work out and all that stuff. He looks like he's kind of got a little belly on him.
Not the word I used.
Chicks like crooners.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm gonna change the title of this so that I don't
No,
but
no,
if her album cover, which is her album, new album is Pink, P-Y-N-K.
Uh-huh.
She is wearing some pants, which I've showed you in the break, that very closely resemble the female anatomy below the equator.
Labia.
Yeah.
You could say that. That's the medical term for it.
So they're calling them labia majora trousers. And I am asking you, is this real?
You know what it kind of, the first thing I looked at is that a lobster claw? That's the my very first thought when I saw the pants. But it does look like a Virginia. It absolutely does.
Yeah. So if this is the thing, oh boy. It's there's going to be a though, lot of things that are going to be focused on
it's it. It's weird because her it makes her look severely bow-legged. You should tweet that out. You should find it and tweet
she
it
She looks
out.
Like a wearing these pants, she looks like a bad guy from the Power Rangers.
I tweeted it out at Pac-Man Joel with a K.
She really does. She looks like a bad guy in the Power Rangers.
She must have a hell of a lot of flexibility because that is severely bow-legged.
We will fight you, Pink Claw. Like, that's, yeah, she looks like a...
Well, when you think about it, if her legs are truly the inside portion of the pants, it's not far-fetched.
What were some Power Rangers bad guys? I didn't watch Power Rangers. What were Zorg or... I don't know.
Zord was a good guy. Zord. I can't remember the old lady's name.
We can go to break and you can figure this out.
Lord Zed, Rita Repulsa. She kind of looks like Rita Repulsa. Goldar.
Goldar was a good guy. Why does?
Oh, I don't know. I just googled. I don't know, villains in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Max Kellerman.
No.
No, he's one of them? All right.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, that'll do it for us for another big show on a Way Back Wednesday. We appreciate you listening. As we mentioned, Nick will be back on Monday, so T. Scott will be back with us. Tyler, we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. So for Tyler and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night. Fred, AJ, John, The Blitz, they're next, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care, everybody.